So guys, I want you to find your bulletin, and you've got some notes in there. We're going to get into God's Word now at this time of the service. We've been going through the book of Acts, and we've been looking at how the power of God is doing certain things in the book of Acts and through the early church, and it's called the Acts of the Apostles. But as I've said every week that we've looked in this, what we're really seeing is the acts of God through the apostles. That's the power of God that is doing what he does. And we're going to talk about the power of God today. God is awesome, isn't he? He's an amazing God. Anybody want to tell me any praise reports about God this morning? Tell me something that you're thrilled that God has done in your life. Talk to me. Brother. Healed you. Brother JD is doing good. He healed him. Any others? Shelly? To know him and love him. Isn't that amazing? Can anybody remember when you really didn't have a love for God? I can remember. It was tough. That was a rough place to live. And so I'm thankful God's put it in my heart that I can love him today. He's the one that set my heart free. Anybody else have a praise they want to give? Yes, Sandy. Amen. Amen. Back is healed, feeling better. That is awesome. Any others? Yes, Deborah. Feeling better. She's able to be here. Amen. Yes. Amen. Healing your parents. Boy, they went through a rough time earlier this summer, didn't they? God's been good. Amen. You know, God's good all the time. Even if that suffering has to continue, God's still good. But man, isn't it awesome when God is moved by our prayers? Do you know that is actually the power of God being moved by our prayers? And that's what we're going to talk about today. And so you guys all shared the answers to prayers and things that's going on around you and in you. And what's so amazing, guys, how powerful is God? Can anybody tell me how powerful he is? All powerful. In fact, there's a name for him, Almighty God, right? Means like there is no end to his might, to his power, to his majesty. And so really, we can't sum it up with just mere human words how powerful he is. We just know that he is all-powerful, and it goes on forever and ever and ever. And did you know that that power, and now we're talking power that is more powerful than what we know of as like atomic bombs and all that stuff. We're talking about the power that created the universe and everything that we see. His power is literally moved by the prayers of his people. That shocks me. As I prepared for this week's lesson, I said, God, show me what you want me to see this morning. Show me what you want me to bring to the congregation, and that's what he showed me. In fact, we're going to be in Acts chapter 11 here, and we're going to be talking about, actually, 12. Sorry, got it wrong. Acts chapter 12. So if you guys turn to Acts chapter 12, we're going to be looking at what happens next in this. And so we've got an emergency that begins to happen. We know that God had been moving and he had been spreading the gospel, and it had began to spread even in the Gentiles. They had sent out some missionaries, and so God is moving. What happens when God moves in a powerful way? Satan comes to oppose. Amen? Satan doesn't want God to get glory. That's the whole reason why he got thrown out of heaven in the first place, because Satan wants to try to steal God's glory. And so as soon as we see the church moving, and there's actually, they actually have it figured down to kind of a percentage. You know how some people are like bean counters, and they do studies and they do analysis. Do you know that in any nation or any group of people, whenever the church grows to 5% of the population or more, there is always persecution that breaks out. It's just a dynamic that happens. It's like Satan is sitting over there, and whenever God starts to be noticed and recognized, it makes him upset. And so he steps out to try to stop what God's doing. Now, let me ask you something. Does Satan have any power over God at all? Come on, let's get a little more exuberant about this one. No! He has no power over God whatsoever. He has only deception that he tries to use over us who are the weaker creatures. And so we need to know that Satan has no power over God. He can't make you do anything, okay? He can't make God do anything, and I praise God for that. This is not a struggle between equal powers. And so whenever suffering or something comes upon us, guys, we got to know something. it's okay. God's doing something. We just need to stick with God. We need to stay with God. So let's watch what happens here in Acts chapter 12. Sorry, I got that wrong on the slide. Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 19. And about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Okay, that's the disciple James who walked with Jesus. His brother was John, the apostle John. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now, it was during the days of unleavened bread, so when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but, boy, I love that but. Anytime you see a but in Scripture, you need to pay close attention. But constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Do I get an amen? The church needs to be constantly praying, guys. The church needs to be constant in a prayer. What does that mean? It means that no matter what you're doing during the day, whenever God touches your heart, you pray. You can pray while you're driving, too. I was with somebody the other day that liked to close their eyes whenever they pray, and we were talking about something, and I was driving, and I said, well, let me just pray about that right now. And I saw them. They looked at me, and they were like, are you sure about this? It's okay. I can do it with my eyes open, okay? And so they made sure I had my eyes open. Guys, we need to be constant in prayer about the things that God lays on our heart. And so the church was being constant in prayer for Peter. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Guys, that looks like a pretty hopeless situation, wouldn't you say? Would anybody expect to escape a situation such as this? He is chained to a prisoner on his right and a prisoner on his left, chained to two men. And there's two more guarding the door. Guys, this sounds like a hopeless situation. But God, okay? Remember the but, because when God steps in, he changes everything. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Say amen with me. His chains fell off his hands. God's a chain breaker. Amen. He's the one that breaks off these chains. Then the angel said to him, gird yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and the second guard posts, they came to the iron gates that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. Let's pray. Dear God, we read this story. We see that you can set the prisoner free. We see that you can break off the chain from the one who's being held. Lord, we see that you can deliver them right through the guards, that you can open the doors of the prison and let a man out who's being unjustly held, whom you love and you want to set free. Lord, we see that you were able to do that right here in chapter 12 of the book of Acts. Lord, let us realize you're no different today. You're still the God who delivers. You're still the God who breaks the captives free. And Lord, we see that you did this in honor of the prayers of the saints. They were constant in prayer for Peter, and you moved in a powerful way. Father, thank you for showing us this, and help us to truly believe you still do miracles today, because you do. You're still the same God. Lord, bless us and strengthen our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we see, as we continue on, there's a little bit more goes on here, okay? So he knew he'd been delivered, and so he had considered this. When he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, verse 12, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate A girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, "You are beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison, and he said, "Go tell these things to James and to the brethren." And this was Jesus' son James, Jesus' brother James. That was the leader of the church in Jerusalem at that time, because the other James had already been killed. And so he departed and went to another place, Peter did. And then as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had become of Peter. But when Herod had searched for him and did not find him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. I want you to know something, guys. There's nobody that even begins to equal the power of God. Herod was a powerful man. Herod was a king. Herod had the last say in his kingdom on many things, but he didn't have the last say about what to do with God's people. And he had bound Peter, thinking that it would be fun to go ahead and kill Peter and make those mean Jews who didn't love Jesus and didn't love the apostles, make them happy by doing violence against the church. And so all this was going on, but God still had a plan. And God had it in part of his plan for his people to be praying. And as we look at this, we've got to wonder a question, and this is a question I get a lot. Why does God allow sufferings and emergencies? Well, guys, if we didn't have suffering and emergencies, we'd never get to see miracles. Amen? A miracle is in response to something that isn't going well or isn't going right. And so we've got to have things that aren't going well or right, so that we can see God's responses to these things. God still does miracles. God hears our prayers. God hears our prayers even when our faith is very small. Do I get an amen to that? And we can see, these weren't like super apostles that had this giant faith that was so much larger than ours. Guys, we saw what happened. Whenever Rhoda came, even she left him outside. She was so excited, she just ran off, and poor Peter standing out there in the cold. And she goes back over to the people, and she goes, "Peter's outside!" And here they are praying for Peter, and they're supposed to be believing that God's going to do something, amen? But instead, they're like, "You're beside yourself." But she kept insisting, it really is him. It's his angel. And a lot of people get freaked out about this and think, well, this is saying that a person becomes an angel after they die. No, the word there is like spirit. It's like his messenger was sent to us, okay? And so a lot of people even might believe that it could have been that each one of us kind of have a guardian angel, and it could have been that they were thinking that his guardian angels come to meet with us, because Peter's over there. He's still in prison. He's either prison or dead. We're not sure. But they couldn't believe that God had really set him free. But here's the encouraging thing. I know whenever I first read this, I'm thinking, man, those guys, they should have had more faith. Shame on them. But let's face it, guys, we're all like that. Sometimes our faith is about this big, right? Sometimes we're praying and we're acting like we really got all this faith when we're praying, but really on the inside, we're about like this. And that's the way they were too. And what encourages me is God answered their prayer. Do I get an amen to that? God answered their prayer. That means he'll answer our prayer when our faith is just like that. Amen? Now Peter continued knocking. I appreciate his boldness. He's like, "Guys, don't leave me out here." All right, but you know, Peter had to have enough faith to actually do what that angel said, too. He was in such disbelief, it was almost like he was couldn't believe it was actually happening. It was like a dream or something. Can you imagine the angel hitting him in the side? I mean, he actually had to hit him to get him up. Do you guys ever sleep like that? You're in such a deep sleep, it takes somebody to hit you to get you up. Oh, I see wives looking at husbands out there. No, but like, it's like, "Get up, man, get up. I'm letting you out of here." And the chains just fell off, and he just stood up. You see, God not only woke Peter, but God put the guards in a trance. You know, we'll think, well, we can't do that because there's people watching, or we can't do that because they might tell us not to. Guys, here's the deal. If God sent you to do it, He can do whatever he needs to the other people to make sure that you're able to do what he called you to do. Amen? And so he called him to stand up and walk out of that jail cell, out of that prison. And so God enabled him to do it. And even though their faith was that small, that big, God still answered. In fact, Jesus talked about this in Luke chapter 17. He was real clear about it. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Right? Don't you want bigger faith? I want bigger faith. All right? And this is what Jesus said. If you have faith as a mustard seed. You guys ever see a mustard seed? The biggest plant in the garden. The smallest seed is tiny. Just a little bitty old seed. And he said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Another place it talks about where he says, you can say to that mountain, be moved. And here's the deal, guys. God moves mountains. Amen? He moves mountains. And the way I know that he moves mountains is because he can move a human heart, and that's stronger than a mountain. We can be more unyielding than a great tall mountain. We can be the hardest thing in the world for him to change, and God can do it. Thing we want to know is that's the power of God that does that, and it's moved by your prayers. No matter how big your faith is, if you got enough faith to pray, he'll do it. Whenever we think about what he's doing in his will, the power of God also breaks those chains that are binding us, guys. Do I get an amen to that? There ain't no chain too strong binding you that God can't break it. And that's what I love about that in Acts chapter 12, verses 6 through 7. When Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping. What does that mean, Herod was about to bring him out? Anybody tell me what that meant? The next day he was going to kill him. That's what it means. He brought James out, and he brought him out in front of all the people, and he had him killed. He was getting ready to do the same thing to Peter. It must have been a pretty desperate night for Peter, don't you think? Must have been a pretty desperate night knowing that he was in there. I don't know if he knew everything that was going on, but he knew what happened to James. I'll guarantee you that. And he was sitting in there wondering what was going to happen to him. And it was right down to the last hour. Have you ever been like praying to God and it seemed like it was going to be too late? If God showed up any later, it was going to be too late. I'll tell you what, God's never late. He's always on time. He's always on his time. And we got to let him be on his time, because that the way God does it is he does it when no one else could do it. He does it when there's no other explanation. That way he gets all the glory, and that's exactly what he did here. Here's Peter bound in chains between these two soldiers. When the angel told him to get up, the chains fell off, guys. The chains don't hold us, his people. God can break us free. What kind of chains do you have in your life that feel like they're holding you right now? Just think for a minute. That chain that's got you bound and you think, well, it's just too big, preacher. I can't get loose from that thing. I can tell you, our God's a chain breaker. I've seen him break the chains. There's nothing holds you that's stronger than God. We had a men's conference yesterday, a little men's meeting here, and it was awesome. Guys, I just tell you, God really spoke during that men's meeting. It was good. And he said, let the size of your God dictate the size of your dreams for God to do in the Lord. So how big is our God? And that means there's nothing can hold you back from what God's called you to do. There's nothing. There's no chain too big. God's the chain breaker. And so the power of God will also help us to follow him. In Acts chapter 12, verses 8 through 10, then the angel said to him, gird yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. I just want you to think about it, guys. It may even seem like a dream, like it did to Peter. Whenever Peter was being set free, they were thinking, wow. He was thinking, wow, how in the world could this be happening? It can't be true. Guys, I want you to know God can deliver you, no matter what it is. He can deliver that person you're praying for, no matter what it is. Please, guys, I'm your pastor. And here's one thing. I pray for you all, and I pray for the people you asked me to pray for. Here's one thing I want you to never say to me, okay? I'm going to ask you to never tell me that somebody's so bad that they can't be fixed or changed. I do have some of you all have told me that before, and I'll tell you, it breaks my heart when you say it, because what you're saying is that God's not big enough. Don't you dare say God's not big enough. You might be thinking it in your heart, but don't let it come out of your mouth, because I'm going to tell you, God's big enough. There is nobody who's living and breathing that's so bad that God can't change him. Come on, guys, let's hear it. There's nobody that's so bad that's still breathing that God can't change him. That was still pretty weak, guys. There is nobody that's so bad that's still breathing that God can't change. All right, that's a little better. I think we need to do it again, though. Guys, stop saying that people are too bad. Because what you're saying is that they're more powerful than God, and don't you talk about our God like that. There is nobody more powerful than God. Now, I know, you know, we always get into that thing, well, they got to agree, preacher. You know who can help them agree? Same God who can break them free. You see, that's the same God who helps them agree. That's the same God who helped me agree to go with him. It's the same God that told Peter, get up and get out of here. If Peter would have been totally all in himself, he'd have been thinking, there ain't no way. There's two guards standing in front of that door. Even after the chains fell off, well, those two guys must have passed out, but there's still those two guys over there. How did he walk past them, guys? God. God still does miracles. We can be set free by the power of God. Guys, I want you to think about that chain that you were just thinking about a minute ago. What is that chain? It might be fear. It could be a chain of pride. You know, there's no way I'm going to repent in front of all those people and give my life to Jesus and whatever, or join the church, because I don't want nobody to see me. That may be your fear. What is your fear? Maybe it's that fear you can't do without that one thing that's in your life that you just think you can't live without. Guys, I'm just going to tell you, you take whatever that one thing is, and you give it to God this morning. You let him work on it. Maybe you can't like deal with it right now. Okay, fine. Give it to God right now. He'll help you deal with it. You pray. You have that much faith, and you pray about it. And I'm just telling you, God will break the chains. Whatever it may be. And I'll also tell you, Satan's going to try to put another chain on you. Amen? He does. That's just what he does. He's like that snake. If you step on it, it's going to bite you. It's just what he does. That's just what Satan does, too. But remember, he don't have no power over God. He got no say-so in this matter. We're going to follow God. Let me pray for you. Dear God, help us to follow you, whatever the chain is, whatever the problem is, whatever we may be feeling is holding us back, let us give it to you this morning. And for somebody, that may mean coming up to this altar and giving it to you. And if it is, Lord, help them to move. Now, help them not to tell you no. Help them not to say that they're too bad or anybody's too bad for you to be able to help us with our problem, Lord. You're the chain breaker. If you could deliver Peter out of the hands of his enemies right there, right then, no questions asked, right through the guards, right down the street, Lord, you can deliver me now in Jesus' name. Amen. If we're bondage to sin or whatever, and we feel like we can't get free, turn your life over to Jesus if you haven't already done that. Just say, Jesus, I'm yours. You're my master. I believe you are who you say you are. I believe you died on the cross for me, and I believe that God raised you from the dead. I believe you're the one. You do that, God sends his Holy Spirit into you, and he begins to lead you out. It's amazing what you'll see, but I also want to tell you, he still delivers people from prison, too. We had a dear brother. Some of you all might have prayed for him. I don't know. I know I was praying for him. His name was Andrew Brunson, and he was in Turkey and had ministered there for 20 years. And whenever they had a political uprising, they arrested him and stuck him in prison and said, look, you're one of those political dissidents, you know, and they called him a terrorist. They actually charged him with terrorism for doing good things to people, all right, because he was a Christian. And many of us prayed and prayed and prayed. And do you know he was set free like about a week ago? Praise the Lord. And I mean, it was a miracle. He was sent home. He was allowed to come home. And you know what the first thing he did? He got down on his knees. Whenever he met the president, because the president did speak a good word to try to get him out, and he prayed for him. He put his hand on him and prayed for him. What a beautiful expression of love there. So I want you to continue to pray. There's somebody back there by the light switches. That's a sign that's been up for years, and I have vowed to keep that sign there until we see that young lady freed. Her name is Sia Bibi. She was just revisited in her trial in Pakistan the other day. Do you know that that woman is sentenced to hanging by death because she said Muhammad died but Jesus rose? That was all she said. And she has been accused of blasphemy against the great Muhammad, and so the great prophet, and so that she is sentenced to be hung. And she's been in prison now for several years waiting, and every time it comes up, they do some other maneuver to keep her from coming out. But you know what? Our God can open the jail doors and let our dear sister out. However he decides to do that, we'll be satisfied. Amen? But we're just going to keep praying for her. So please pray for Asiya Bibi on your prayer list. And there's many others. Get the voice of the martyrs. You'll see lots of prayer concerns. But God is awesome, and he is good. Nothing more powerful than him. Do we have any birthdays today?
We do.